Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you praise and thanksgiving, sir, for loving us so, for all of your grace. We're just so grateful to you. We open our hearts and we open our minds today to receive revelation from heaven. So, thank you for revealing yourself in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles, Gloria, once more to the 103rd Psalm, which is our benefits in the blessing.
Amen.
Christ Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, Galatians 3:13. Mm-hmm. Why? Now, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. This is why he went to the cross now. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, might come on the rest of us through him.
Praise.
That we might receive what the Spirit promised to Abraham.
Hallelujah.
It's just huge. Mm. It's God's original purpose in the beginning.
That's right.
And he blessed them saying, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it.
Had they obeyed, there would have been nothing ever but the blessing in the whole earth.
Well, see, the perfect plan of God was manifest there. The Bible said that God planted a garden east of Eden. Then he put the man in it. And then he blessed him saying, subdue the earth, all the rest of it, replenish it by empowering him with the same power, what we know as the blessing, that God used to create all material things. So he started him off with that little garden there, and his plan was to be expanded until the whole planet became the garden spot of the universe. And then it was to go from there. All the rest of those planets out there, they're still empty. Now,
but that was man's assignment.
Oh, yeah.
To do that.
Yes. With God's instruction, God's help, God's teaching and training.
I just get a picture of this place, what it looked like before man got
hold of it. When he had it by himself.
Before man got hold of it. It was just rocks, rocks, no grass,
but see,
weeds and rocks.
We came up here and we began to pray and we began to seek the Lord and we spoke the words of faith and gratitude over this place. And as we learned and as we progressed and the peace of God came on this place and the blessing of the Lord began to do that. For instance, God promised Israel a land that flowed with milk and honey. Now, you can check out, you can just check out the rest of the earth and see what's going on. See where the bees are. You know where the bees were for so long in the United States? Hmm. That's where most of the bee population was. You know where most of them are now? In Israel.
You know where also they go?
Right here.
They come in here and get in our walls.
Yeah, there's bees.
They make honey.
I'm telling you, that little log house over there, they have to come out here and get the honey out of it every year to keep the roof from caving in. I mean, you check it out. See,
that's interesting.
The blessing is like God said it was, because God said it. And when you
a land
put
flowing with milk and honey.
See, man has no He has no concept of what God has in store for those that love Him. The likes of it has never entered into the heart of man. The Garden of Eden in the heart and mind of God would have been the worst condition man would have ever experienced, because it would have just got better from there. As he learned, as it grew, as it expanded, exceeding abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. It's in us to be revealed now.
You know, I never had thought about this until right now, about the bees. But in the early days, the Bible days say, think how wonderful and precious honey would have been. They didn't have sugar. They didn't have a sugar bowl.
No.
They didn't have a candy bar.
No.
They had fruit and they had honey.
And they were healthy.
And they were healthy, yeah.
Now, when they got into meeting their own needs without God and got into the curse, the bees leave. And you can check it out for yourself. I mean, just go do the research on it. It's a very eye-opening and a very interesting subject.
It certainly is.
But when the blessing of the Lord comes on a place, our place there at Eagle Mountain in Fort Worth, one man, a retired military, a field grade officer, and he would just drive out there. And he'd ask permission if he could just come out. And he would just drive out there and just walk around. And one of the guys asked him, said, "Sir, why do you do that?" He said, "I enjoy the peace."
Praise God.
He said, I come out here, he said, "Man," he said, "God's peace all over this place." Well, we know it because we live in it. I can go, Glory and I go, and our family, we can go into a place that's just ravaged, but we still have peace. We live in this peace. We have the shield of peace round about us. Now, we were talking yesterday about who redeems our life from destruction and the fact that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies our mouth with good words so that our youth is renewed like the eagle, and the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Now, we have to know how to appropriate these things. Now, think about what religion has taught us. Oh, how hard it is. Oh, how difficult it is. Oh, it's hard serving God. Oh, it'll cost you everything you got. Oh, no, what'll cost you everything you got is living in Babylon.
That's right.
Now, you ask most, you just ask most preachers what it's like serving Jesus. Well, you know, it's a struggle. It's hard, particularly financially, doing the things that, and they get a little twisted in their talk usually, you know, yes, amen. It's a bit difficult, yes. That ain't what he said.
No.
How many preachers do you know, if you walked up to them and asked them that question, they'd said, "Oh, are you kidding? It's easy, man. This is the easiest thing I ever did in my life." Yeah. What? Then nobody says that. Yet, that's what Jesus said.
My yoke is easy.
He said, "Learn this of me." Now, that's right there, the key. You learn it from Him, by listening to Him, by doing what He says do, by being unwilling to say anything you don't hear Him say or do anything you don't see Him do, instead of just going off on your own thing. It is hard when you're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing in the wrong way and trying to borrow the money and beg it off of people.
You don't have any words, so you don't have any faith. It's hard.
Yeah. Religion doesn't produce faith. And then you're begging people for the money to do what God told you to do. And for the most part, what you think God told you to do was actually what somebody else said you ought to do. But now, this is what I was going to read to you yesterday. And I ran out of time it was in my book, but I ran out of time before I get to it. Now, listen to this from Matthew 11. 27 through 30, where Jesus said, "Learn this of me, that my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Say it right now where you are right now. Being yoked up to Jesus is easy, not hard.
Being yoked up to Jesus is easy and not hard.
Now, this is from the Message translation. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. Now, listen to the words of Jesus. The Father has given me all things to do and say. So Jesus didn't just take off and just say anything he wanted to say or do anything he wanted to do because he's the Son of God. He didn't do anything as the Son of God while he was in the earth except go to the cross. Everything he did in his ministry, he did as a prophet under the ministry of the blessing of Abraham as a man.
An obedient man.
Anointed, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he didn't do anything that's out of the realm of our ability to do exactly the same thing. If we do it the way he did it, if we say what he says, do what he does, obey him, let the word convert us, the way we talk, the way we think, the way we act, living under the laws of the kingdom of God instead of the laws of sin and death, we get his results. He said that over and over and over again. Now, the Father has given me all things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. Knowledge, no one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. Let me read that again. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I am not keeping it to myself. Listen now. I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who will listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. Or in other words, get in the Word. Mm-hmm. Look at me. Watch me in the Word. You'll recover your life. Listen to this. I'll show you how to take a real rest.
Praise God.
Oh.
How good.
Are you listening to that? Listen. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace.
Boy, that's good, isn't it?
That's just faith. Now, how do you work with him?
Force.
I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Lightly.
You depend on the blessing. You're not trying to work it out yourself. You're not trying to earn it. You're not trying to get it.
That's the curse.
The blessing to produce it. Now, how did he say that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You seek him. You get in the Word. You walk right along beside him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see yourself. Stop looking at yourself. When you're reading here in the Gospels, stop seeing yourself as the woman with the issue of blood. That's fine. And that's part of it. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not the main example. The main example is you're walking right there with him. You're watching how he does things. You're listening to him because you are his disciple. You are his offspring. He is your example. Mm-hmm. He is teaching you. He's saying, you work with me. When he's preaching, you listen to him.
Yes, that's right.
For instance,
didn't he say, the works that I do
shall you do also? And greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father.
Greater works. Think of that.
Now, why did he go to his Father? He went to his Father in order to send the Holy Ghost.
For us.
And that the Holy Spirit himself is the one he said did the works.
That's right.
The Father within, he does the works.
Praise
God. Now, let me show you here an example of this, because this is the way we appropriate our benefits. In the 11th chapter of Mark, I began studying this 11th chapter of Mark 45 and a half years ago. Amen. Now, when you walk with him into a situation, instead of being on the other end of it all the time, and I was doing this, and I'm listening to him, I'm walking with him, I'm standing there with him, I'm one of his disciples. He's my Lord, he's my Savior. And I had become so aware just a few days before of his saying, I only say what I hear my Father say. Oh, that began to get bigger and bigger. It's always been big in me, but it just began to be like a fire and a floodlight on the inside of me. He said in verse 11, Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. When he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And I stopped and See, I'm right there with him. Wait a minute. These guys are acting just as ugly today as they're going to be acting tomorrow when he goes in there and chases them all out. But he didn't say anything. And notice it says, when evening was come, he went out. Hey, he was in there all day. Gloria, he didn't say a word. He didn't do a thing. Why not? His Father didn't say anything.
Right.
And he didn't see his Father do anything. He just left. Went back, spent the night. Well, now you know what he did overnight. He inquired of the Lord about what he saw. He knew he was supposed to be there, but the first step of faith is to keep your mouth shut and inquire of God what to say, what to do, when to say it, how to do it. And get the plan from him,
wisdom.
His plan be done on earth. Now, he goes over there the next day. He goes in to the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, Gloria, everybody knows Jesus did that. Everybody that's ever been to Sunday school knows Jesus did that. Every Christian that's been to church knows Jesus did that. That was not what he went in there to do. But when you become his disciple and you're in there with him and you're allowing the Lord to reveal these things to you, because you only say what you hear him say and you only do what you're following this example. What are you doing? What he said there, I'm working with him. I'm watching him in the unforced rhythms of grace. Look at this. And he taught unto them, is it not written? He took a text from the Word of God in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, and he began to teach. And listen, when evening was come, he left. Hey, he cast that bunch out of there, but here's the big thing. He taught all day long. He had something to say and he had something to do, but he knew what the plan was before he ever entered into it, and he did not have to go to the outside world to get the resources to do it. Now, what shocked me in all these years, I had never put this together, because I had been reading it and preaching on it in sections and so forth. But the Lord helped me, and he put all this together. Then came the fig tree incident, but what was he doing? He was headed back over there to the temple. Gloria, he spent 3 days in that temple. Hmm. There were all kinds of things happened in there. He preached and he taught. He was in the presence of some of those elders that he met when he was 12 years old. I didn't learn all of that until I began to work with him. I'm watching him flow in unforced rhythms of grace. Why? Because he knew what he's supposed to do, and he's depending on the God within him to get it done. He's depending on the blessing wall around him. They can't touch him until he says they can. And yeah, when they tried to hurt him or get on him, he just walked out from their midst. Why? The blessing wall was up. The grace wall was around him. And he was walking in the very same thing that he's provided for us in which to walk.
Praise God.
Isn't this marvelous? Mm-hmm. And we have these benefits, see? In closing, let's get over here and look again. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. How do you do that? I found that out right in the middle of a strong oppression that came against this ministry just a few years ago. And the Lord took me to a scripture that said, don't defend yourself. Make room for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay.
You don't have to be concerned.
No, I just said, well, I make room for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That don't touch me.
That's right.
I didn't have to sweat through the thing. And the power of God was there. And instead of our income going down like the folks that attacked us thought it would, it went up. Praise God. But if we'd got in there and fought the thing with the law and fought with all of that, mm-hmm. it would have done what they planned for it to do. It would have gone down and our expenses gone up. And it would have put us under financial pressure, which it did not.
Because where there's strife, there's confusion.
And every evil work. But what were we doing? Functioning in the unforced rhythms of grace.
Him.
Now, it's not, you have to resist it. You have to put into action those things that God has benefited us. We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.